grace, peace, and mercy from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's always so nice to be here. I was telling some of the people, I feel like I'm home when I come here. It's starting to get so comfortable. Not too comfortable, I still get nervous. So last week I was cooking with our son David, who is 10. And he wanted to learn how to make my mom's recipe for meatballs and our family meatballs and the tradition of our fagiolis and how that started. And he's blonde hair and blue eyes, like his dad. And I'm looking down at this little kid, but he's all about being Italian on his inside. As we cooked and I shared my grandma's recipe handed down from her mother, from her grandmother to her mother, to her, to my mom, to me, and then to David, I have to say, it was very moving. I was tearing up a lot. To see my own son learning what I was taught from my mother, who he never met. And seeing his excitement about it. And knowing that all of these ancestors that he never met were connected to him. And it gave me such comfort. Because I always feel bad that they didn't get to meet him as I am older mom. And I was so amazed how he picked it up. It was like he was a natural. His little hand rolling that fagiolo tight, making sure nothing fell out. It was like they were right there in him. And then it triggered me in my thinking about all the things that we pass down generation to generation. Our customs, our genetics, our likes, our dislikes, and unfortunately, sometimes our fears and prejudices. However, I know as parents, we want to pass down to all the generations what is good and life-giving to our children. And in fact, it's not something that we want to do, it is our duty and is what is expected. In our gospel today, Jesus is not speaking the way he usually does. I even had trouble reading the last sentence. This isn't the Jesus that I know. But he was being very clear and very direct. He wasn't his warm, fuzzy self. And he's clearly instructing the disciples about their duties of discipleship. And then they just stand there and they go, "Hey Jesus, increase our faith." Poof, like a magic trick. They just want it to happen. After all, they saw miracles. They even performed miracles themselves. So why not get in on it and have a little faith? Just sprinkled on them. Faith is not like that. It's not fairy dust. It's not magic. And Jesus really is getting very annoyed with them at this point because he's teaching a lesson about what is expected. And he rebukes them and saying, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell that mulberry tree to uproot itself and it would obey you. He's telling them and all of us that faith is ultimately trusting in him to the point of surrender, in full obedience and with all humility. He's saying if we have the tiniest speck of faith, like a mustard seed, and if you've ever seen them, it's a speck. I tried to hand them once out in the children's room. It didn't work. So this little tiny speck, with just that, he can do a work in us that is the most unbelievable, unthinkable, unreachable. That's all God needs, that little speck. It's up to us to keep it alive. And this gospel, I found, is very Lutheran. You know I'm a convert, so I'm like, love it. Love being here. Jesus points out that we are not to serve, the reward is not in our doing. We are to serve because it's what we ought to do. We serve out of love. We don't serve for the brownie points. Max Luther, I love it. And all of us, we are expected to pass on our faith. In the Lutheran rite of baptism, parents promise to put the Bible in the child's hand. How profound is that? They make a pledge, and it's more than a promise. It is expected. It is a covenant. And our faith is not just a part of us, but who we are. It is how we live. It is how others come to know Christ, by sharing our faith and by sharing our faith experiences with God, of God. They have to see Christ shine out in us. Christ should be evident in all that we do and all that we are. It is how we pass on the faith to the next generation. It is not our gift to hold on to. It is our gift to share. Now, last week in the news, Amber Geiger was about to face 10 years in prison for murder. And there was a lot about the brother of the victim who forgave. And I truly hope he did the work that it takes. It takes many years to forgive. And the focus was on him, and that was okay. But for me, my focus was on the judge. Judge Tammy Kemp, the judge, was stirred in her own faith, got up from that bench, went over and got the Bible that everyone had just sworn on, and handed it to Amber, who now is facing a new life, a life she never thought of, in prison. That was not her goal. She hands her this Bible. She didn't stop and think, I'm a judge, what are people going to say? Am I allowed to do this? No, she surrendered her will to God's will and gave this woman, facing a new life from the unknown, God's message, God's Bible, God's word. The judge's faith was alive in her. She didn't stop, not for a moment. She did what she was told to do from God. This judge was ridiculed afterwards by some in the media and by the Society for Freedom from Religion, that it should never be mixed in a court of law. She stepped out in her faith in a very radical way and with no fear. In the second reading, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is facing hardship and persecution. Paul is reminding Timothy that his faith is a gift from God, and he reminds Timothy and all of us how faith has been seen throughout the generation of his family and hopefully our families. Faith, unlike that little recipe that I handed down to David, is an easy recipe. Is the instructions followed? Oh no, faith is very different. Faith must be molded, demonstrated, witnessed, told in stories of God's love, mercy, redemption, and forgiveness. That's how we become faithful people, one generation after another. Paul uses the word lived in describing Timothy's mother and grandmother's faith. He also reminds him, and he says to him, which is very important, he says, I'm sure faith lives in you. So even when Timothy was feeling doubtful, he's reaffirming, I am sure that faith is still in you. Using the word lives means to breathe life. It's alive. Faith should never be stagnant. It can go dormant, but not ever stagnant. Sometimes we all need to be reminded of what it takes to be living in faith. And sometimes our faith needs to be rekindled. And maybe just hearing someone else's story could make that spark, that little speck, aglow. And it happens to us in times of confusion and hardship. We can feel entrapped, and that spark might seem muffled. In faith, we are called to live a radical lifestyle. To be a follower of Christ is not an easy path. We may feel like we're swimming against the current of society. You know, buy more, do more, get more. That's what makes you valuable. That's what our society breathes, when we should be breathing hope, compassion, and love. It means that your faith is who you are. It defines all of you. It defines your interactions, your decision making, the work you choose, and how you treat others all of the time. When I was thinking of faithful people, I remembered watching something last summer, this summer past, and hopefully some of you have seen it. Nick and Liliana Valenda walked a tightrope way above Times Square. Now, this was not new to them. They are the current generation of the famous Flying Linda family. Some of you that are my age remember they lost their grandfather on a tightrope. But this is what they do, and this is who they are. And their art, as well as their faith, has been passed down to them. And I was so struck by this new press release that Nick Melinda put out. So I'm going to just read it to you so I don't make a mistake. And this is what he said about his faith. My faith is who I am. So whether I'm on a wire or off the wire, it's where I find my peace. And again, it's who I am. It's not what I believe in. It's not saying anything other than my being. People often ask, why the wire again and again? Because that's what I do. It's what I've done my entire life. And I don't know anything else. To me, it's normal. And it's the same thing with my faith. It's real to me. It's personal. It's a personal relationship. It's where I find my peace when I'm out on that wire. In fact, in my inner ear, I have music playing in the background, which is worship music. It keeps me calm. I love worshiping. It keeps me peaceful when I'm on that wire. He later went on to say that that wire is his chapel. Both he and his sister knew that walk would be both challenging, mentally and physically. And they were all very aware of the distraction that could happen in Times Square. Just think about it, this wire high above the city. If you've been to Times Square, you know those light boards, those LED lights flashing. When you're on the ground, they're not flashing in your face, but for them, it was flashing right in their eyes. And so they had to walk with thousands of people under them, moving traffic in the background, police sirens, flashing lights, and they resisted all of these distractions. Nick said he had to. We do not look down. We do not look back. And with their eyes looking forward, they concentrate, and their focus is Christ. Any one of those distractions could have blocked their way, their path, or been their demise. Both Nick and Liliana prayed before stepping onto the tightrope. And they prayed throughout their walk. We at home could hear her on her mic, professing the name of Jesus in faith and surrender. She had wanted to put to rest an accident that had occurred years before that left her powerless and not walking. And here's this woman on this wire. She had to face her fears with the hope of inspiring others. And I know I was inspired. Nick agreed by saying the one reason that they do what they do is not to risk their lives. They don't like to be known as daredevils. It's more about facing their fears and trusting God in faithfulness. They feel called to inspire people to use the gifts that God had given them, to cultivate them, to grow them, to share them in a life of faith. My brothers and sisters, in a life of faith, we have the power to overcome and resist all distractions and all obstacles. Yes, we will be tempted by them, but we must step out in faith in our God, like the disciples, the Melendas, and Judge Kemp. In order to follow Christ and make him our focus, we must trust, and in that trust, our faith will grow into who we are, and not just something we wear on the outside. We will see our path, and in faith we will walk it. In God's grace, we can do this. And we can live in truth and love, and our paths will be pointed to joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, understanding, patience, and so much more. In faith, we will not be distracted. We will not be blocked. And we will have the courage and strength to live this radical lifestyle that we are expected to do as followers of Christ. So I ask you to step out in faith, keep it alive, even in the difficult times, even when your faith is a speck of a mustard seed. together in this family.